God, we are grateful for you. We thank you, God, for uniting us all under yourself. We thank you, God, that we are a people out of differences, called to serve you and worship you. God, we thank you for this Veterans Day, and we are reminded of sacrifices. We are reminded of faithfulness. But more importantly, God, we are reminded of protection. And God, I just cover all the churches that are worshiping together this morning. As we try and we walk into reclaiming our safe places, not just safe from evils, but safe, God, from divisiveness, safe, God, from issues. Let this be a place that we can all come together and worship you in spirit and truth. We thank you, God, for the message. We thank you, God, that I get a chance to release it. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's give it up for our band. Tommy was just a little, just a regular guy. He was committed to girls. And I think it's clear looking who's the better looking brother. But when I was 11, he was 18, and all of a sudden he said, I'm going to go into the Navy. And this was really weird because no one had even heard that he had interest in being in the military. And he served our country faithfully, 14 years active, 3 years in reserves. And I can just say, like, even after coming home from basic training, he was different. You could tell something had happened to him when he was there. And it was different in his eyes. It was different in how he engaged people. It was different in his perspective on life. You could tell he was all in. All in. I like that. And if we can show the picture, I think we get a sense that we've seen all in before. When I was 11, when my brother left, my parents divorced when I was 2. So I realized that I was the only guy in the house. And something happened in me where I said, I need to step up. And that had a look to it, that had a determination, that had a will to it. Because I saw my mom and how all in she was with us. How she worked hard, how she went to school and got her master's. And she set an example for us. And even when my parents were divorced and there was no more romantically linking, my dad was all in. Because my dad was still a big part of my life. And I couldn't deny that he was there to be my father. All in. All in has a look to it, doesn't it? No matter if you're a Christian or not in this place, you know that when you're all in, people can see it. People can see it. And our text today, especially in honor of Veterans Day, gives us a picture maybe or descriptors of what it looks like to be all in. So stand if you're able. I want you guys to ask yourself the question, what does it mean to be all in with the Lord? What does it really mean? In our text today, we're going to do something different if you guys don't mind. It's just 2 verses, but I want us all to read it together. So it's Joshua 24, verses 14 through 15. Can you guys see it? So let's say it together, shall we? Now, the fear of the Lord, serve him. Next verse.
But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Good job.
Amen. Please be seated. You guys said Amorites correctly. But seriously, I believe our text today gives us three descriptors, not all, but three descriptors of what it looks like to be all in as a follower of Jesus Christ. And I believe to be all in, you need to have the right mindset. You need to have the right mindset. If we go back, we can go forward. I give you another translation, and we see a word now, but also you can see therefore in certain translations. And you have to understand what it's there for.
You guys are listening. That's great.
The earlier part of Joshua 24, we see the writer connecting the Israelites of this time to Israelites of before, or the beginning of God's walking with people. So he connects them to Abram. Abram, being the father of our faith, was called out of pagan worship and began to walk with God into the land that God had promised him. And then we also see that the writer of Joshua connects these Israelites to the Israelites from Egypt, when God said, hey, I'm tired of seeing my people in bondage and I'm going to call them out. And he connects them to the lineage of Moses and how Moses had them in the wilderness, but they were still walking somewhere. So do you understand that therefore connects them to our history? And just in our life, you have to realize that where you are right now is not by your own volition. You're here by God's grace. You didn't walk into this place just because you felt like it. No, God had done something in your heart to the point where you said, hey, I need to respond. And United Methodist Church calls this prevenient grace, or us recognizing how God goes before us, how God begins to favor us. And we recognize that, hey, God, you love me in spite of me. So just as God connected these Israelites to their history, God also connects the Christian believer to their own history and says, hey, when I wake up in the morning, I'm grateful to God because it was God that woke me up. It was God that blessed me. It was God that did this for me. And therefore also exists to show them their future, because they begin to say that God is taking them somewhere. They started out here, and now they're walking toward the place where they finally have, in Joshua, entered the land flowing with milk and honey. Entered the land that God had promised their ancestors. And we have to realize that the Christian believer also has a mindset that, hey, God is taking me somewhere. God is taking me somewhere. And I'm not here to stay here. I'm transitioning forward. Amen? The second thing I believe our text shows us is that to be all in, we have to recognize the right battle. The right battle. And if we go forward, we see a picture of an idol. Do you guys know what idol means? It's an antiquated old term. And this is one of the descriptors I got. And I usually get this from people who've been raised in church and had an experience with Sunday school. And we see idols. We see wooden carved images, right? Here's another definition I got for idolatry. But I think this goes toward the more culturally specific term idol, where we see someone doing something we love and we respect them, we adore them, we like them, we want to kind of be like them. You know, kids putting posters on their wall and saying, hey, that's my idol. That's my hero. And parents are getting upset because, like, what about me and all the things I do for you? But we see in the text, if we go forward, that idolatry looks like this. And Joshua 24 says and compels us to throw away the gods your ancestors worshiped beyond the Euphrates River and in Egypt and serve the Lord. So the Christian disciple says, hey, I'm going to look to God for my eternal needs. Why? Because idolatry is trusting in a temporary thing, emotion, hope, dream to fulfill or meet an eternal need. I'm going to repeat that. Walking in idolatry really looks like this. I have a hope, a dream, or something temporary, like a job, like a person. And I look for them to satisfy an eternal need. I'm choosing something or someone over Jesus. And really, when we see that word throw away, we're really talking about, in the Hebrew, it means to deflect or turn aside. And the world tells us to trust in temporary things, doesn't it? The world tells us, hey, if you get that next job and that next promotion, you're going to be secure. And we got to deflect that because we recognize that Christ is our security. The world tells us, hey, when you get married, when you finally find the love that you've been just pining for your whole life, you'll be happy. But in reality, we recognize that God is love. And for those of us who are married, we know that we need God to be a mediator in our relationships with our spouses. Right? That we can't depend on our spouse to be perfect or be our all because they're flawed. And we need a Jesus. We need a Savior. Right? But God is so good because God gives us the choice to choose. Humans have always been created with the option of free will to choose. And this deflecting, this turning aside to what the world tells us to believe about our walk, either we're going to trust in Christ for our eternal needs or we're not. And it's our choice. I love this quote by John Wesley in a sermon he had called Spiritual Idolatry. And he says, steadily resolve to seek happiness where it may be found, which is in Christ and Christ alone, where it cannot be sought in vain. Resolve to seek it in the true God, the fountain of all blessedness, and cut off all delay, which means that the Christian disciple that's all in recognizes that they're actively engaged in turning away idols that rise up to try to say we'll have what we always desire. Idols can't fully satisfy. And this was a fight that Israelites faced in Joshua 24. And it's a fight we all face today. The last thing that we need, and the text shows us, is that to be all in, we got to be the right message. We have to be the right message. And in Joshua 24, at the end, we see a famous statement. I know we have it in our home. It says, but for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, right? But Joshua 24 is just a part of who Joshua was to the Israelites. As we learned last week from Nancy's sermon, we learned a little bit about Joshua, but we also recognize that in Joshua 24, he's at the end of his life. He's at the end of his life. And so what? So if we just took that verse in a vacuum, it might be debatable if he would live to actually see out his household, his children, his wife, his servants to actually live out this call that they will serve the Lord. But when we read it in context, it almost sounds like an impassioned speech because Joshua 24 is about allowing the Israelites to make a covenant with God again before he passes. So this is like his last call. It's like his war cry. This is like his way of saying, hey, let's get together. Let's do this. This is what we need. How many people know this person? It's Mel Gibson, but it's William Wallace, right? And Braveheart. Do you guys know that this is one of the most impassioned speeches in film ever? Some of my youth are looking at me crazy. I guess they haven't seen this movie before. Maybe I'll schedule it. How about that? His life matched his words, didn't it? I mean, people around him could see that, hey, this guy was all in. And when he spoke, he listened. Everyone listened. Everyone listened. And there was a fire even about the way he talked and the way he comported himself. The Christian disciple, just like Joshua is showing us, is so impassioned that people believe him. And our world needs Christians to be the light bearers they've been called to be. And that rubs off on people. That spurs people on to more devotion to God. Amen? So all in. All in. You know, I was talking to my brothers. We learned some interesting things about the Navy. I recognized I was not called to be a Navy man. I don't know if I could have handled it, to be honest. I really came away impressed and proud of them. I mean, I was like, I saw them as a kid, and I'm like, I can't believe you went through all that. But I asked them one question. I said, Tommy, do you regret it? Do you wish you would have went to college? And do you wish he would have just started a family? All the sacrifices he made to serve our country. And he says never. He said it was, I didn't know what I was walking into, but it was the best time of my life. And I'm glad I chose it. Beloved ladies and gentlemen, I share with you that Christian discipleship is a ride. You don't know where it's going to take you. And a lot of people are just like the guy on this in this picture. 2 feet waiting to jump in. And that means that sometimes we find ourselves 1 foot in and 1 foot out. We want to hold on to the control we have. We want to not trust in Christ. We want to be comfortable somehow. But something on the inside of us says, hey, what would happen if I really took the plunge? What would happen if I really stepped up and became all in with Christ? I believe our text today shows us what may happen. The Christian disciple embraces the right mindset, able to withstand the mental war of what our life throws at us. And then the Christian disciple also embraces the right battle. They choose not to trust in what the world may trust in. For security, for love, for the eternal things that get us all. And not only that, but the Christian disciple, as Joshua's text shows us, inspires and encourages people forward. And I think in our world right now, we need that. Because a Christian that's all in with Jesus is all in with humanity, all in with loving their neighbor. You can't have one without the other. So as the band comes back up and as we listen to a little music, I really want us to respond to this in our own way. And I believe the text is challenging us to ask two questions. Where am I with Jesus? Are we 1 foot in and 1 foot out? Are we 2 feet out? Maybe we've never accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord. And if there's anyone in here, we have pastors here willing to receive you. But where am I with Christ? And only you can really answer that. And maybe if you're not there, maybe the second question applies to you. What is Christ telling me to do or say? What does my commitment to Christ, where is that next nudge? Maybe it's away from something. Maybe it's towards something. Whatever it is, we can all testify and believe that being all in has a look to it. It does. And our world needs to see it. Our world needs to see it. And I believe God is charging this church, East Cobb. I believe God is charging us to get all in with Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.